Good morning. All right, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. But before we get started, let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We thank you. Thank you always. Always, always, always. Thank you for being able to come into this building here, this church house that we call Pauline Baptist Church. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our friends and our neighbors. And we just thank you for living in America. And Lord, we just pause for a moment and ask that you bless the Nettles family and bless their time of grieving. Help them through this process. And Lord, we do pray for all the folks that are out this morning, whether they're not feeling well or traveling or taking some time off and going to visit family. And we just pray that they'll be able to return back home and safe, and you'll keep them and for any harm. We love you and thank you. As always, also, we pray for our military around the world, keeping us free. And we pray for our missionaries, either North American missionaries that we're going to focus on in the next couple of weeks, and also the foreign missionaries that are spreading the good news of the gospel around the world. Father, I ask you to help me this morning and teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get going, I'll tell you a little story. Most of you know that Lynn and I were in California for the last 3 weeks, a couple weeks ago. So I'm going to tell you a little story real quick. I won't take a lot of time. But we were at Lynn's mom passed away. So we were at the funeral home. I'll make this story a little short if I can. But we were sitting at the funeral home. And Lynn and her two sisters were in the back planning the funeral and that kind of thing. So I could give them some privacy, and I was sitting in the waiting area for about 3 hours, something like that, right? Almost 4 hours, just sitting there. And I read a lot of books out there, you know, hanging out. But anyway, this lady walks in, probably in her 40s, maybe, something like that, 50s. And she walks in and sits down. She talks to the lady at the reception desk, and she sits down there in the little waiting area next to me. And I speak, hello, and that kind of thing. And she looked kind of down, you know, so I was trying to mind my business a little bit there and be respectful. But anyway, I struck up a conversation with her. And she explained to me this sad story. She said she'd just lost her husband about 2 years ago, and she'd come out to visit him. I said, that's nice and sweet. And then it dawned on me that it was Valentine's Day. I was like, wow, that's sad. And I told her, I gave her my condolences, and we talked a little bit. And then somehow the subject got on God. And she began to tell me this long story of how her husband passed away, and then her son passed away like several months after that. And it was just really, really sad. And so literally I sit there for over an hour just listening to her, just being a listening ear. And she just shared and shared, and then she began to share about how she used to believe in God, but after her experience, she said, how did she say it? Just not sure if she can believe anymore in a loving God. So, you know, my counselor hat, I put my counselor hat on and my minister hat at the same time, and I was able to talk with her about God's love. And I just shared with her about God's love and about his goodness and all this, and she listened, and she had questions, and I tried to answer her questions the best I could. Some questions I just couldn't answer. I don't believe anyone has all the answers to everything, you know. And so I listened to it, you know. And then it became time for her to go. The reception lady said something to her, and she got up to walk out. And she got right to the door of the main funeral home, and she looked back at me, and she says, "I think you're an angel sent to help me." And I kind of giggled a little bit. I said, "No, ma'am, I'm sure no angel. I promise you that." You know, and she says, "I don't know." And she just walked out the door, you know. And then it was all of a sudden when she walked out the door, I was watching her, you know, walk out the door. And she got out the door and turned right. And all of a sudden this tumbleweed come just rolling across in the parking lot. No kidding. Now, don't call me country, but I've just never seen a tumbleweed in person. Some of you may have, you know. Giant tumbleweed just comes rolling past in the parking lot. I'm like, what the heck, you know? So I jump up, and she's already got in her car by that time. I go out, and the tumbleweed is, so I run after this thing, right? So I'm running trying to catch this tumbleweed. I know I look like a real country redneck. Everybody in the windows, you know. I was scared Lynn's sister was going to see me out there, and Lynn was like, I don't know who that is, you know. But I'm running through the parking lot, and I finally catch this tumbleweed. And Darius is going to show you a picture of it here. But it was giant. It was just this big. Anybody ever seen a tumbleweed? Look, that's bigger than you. And I'm all excited about it. I'm into art, you know. So this is an art thing. I can hang this on my office, you know, up in my office. It's literally this big, round tumbleweed. All these little sticks are all like perfectly like tangled up together in this ball. And I was fascinated with it. I got like, and by that time, Lynn and her sisters are coming out of the thing, and I was there trying to stick it in the car, you know, trying to get it in the car, and, you know, and it wouldn't fit in my sister-in-law's little Honda Civic, the trunk or the side. And Margaret, Lynn's sister, says, what are you going to do with a tumbleweed? You can't get it on an airplane. I'm like, dang, she's right. You know, I wasn't even thinking at all about any of that. And she said, you're sure not going to bring it to my house. You know, so I had to turn it loose. I prayed for a little fella and turned it loose, and it just started blowing down. It was crazy. It was quite an adventure. But thank you, dear. But it got me to thinking, you know. I had a lot of time to spend in a hotel, and so I started thinking about this crazy tumbleweed. And just the Lord just deposited this message about tumbleweeds and how we want to strive to not be a tumbleweed Christian. And so I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks now, you know, so y'all bear with me. So a tumbleweed, for you guys who don't know, It's a troublesome plant that rolls around. It has no root. Okay? It's simply tossed about by the wind. And as believers in Christ, we are instructed to grow and mature in our faith. Jesus wants us to build a firm foundation and be deeply rooted in Him. Now, our scripture verse today, Paul referred kind of somewhat to tumbleweed Christians in Ephesians 4:14. So let's read it together. It says, then, you know, Paul explained all this cool stuff, and he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Amen? And, you know, in my career as a counselor and just, you know, minister, I continually see people who are tossed back and forth by these waves and these winds of false doctrine or New Age teachings and every other kind of thing that comes down the pipeline. If we don't have a good, deep root system, we can be sidetracked by those things. Amen? And this concerns me. It really does. It concerns me because I know and I've had to counsel people that they were going to church, they loved Jesus, but it's all of a sudden, slowly, you know, they begin to start entertaining other ideas. And this is what happens. They become shipwrecked. They do. They become shipwrecked. And here's the thing, but it doesn't have to be like this. It just doesn't have to be like this. So we're going to talk about three things. Everybody say three. We're going to talk about three things to help us guard ourselves, to guard our hearts from becoming a tumbleweed Christian. Everybody ready? So if you're taking notes, we're going to look at three words that start with an R. Roots, roaming, and routes. Roots, roaming, and routes. And here's the first point. The first point is, now, I know this message is a little straightforward, so y'all hang with me, okay? And putting this together, God stepped on my toes a little bit, so I may step on your toes a little bit today, but that's okay, isn't it? It's good for us, you know? You know? All right, here's point one. Tumbleweed Christians have not allowed their roots to sink deep into doctrinal truths. They do have a tendency to be sort of superficial. Okay? There's nothing on planet Earth that gets blown around more than a tumbleweed. I put a lot of research into this. It was actually kind of fun, you know. A little wind, and off it goes. Now, these pesky plants don't start out this way. Okay? When they're growing, they start out really small, and they start growing. And they start growing and getting bigger and bigger. And they have a pretty good root system. But at the end of its growing system, sort of kind of, really don't let the little metaphors jump over your head, okay? But as they begin to grow, and at the end of this growing season, it breaks loose, never to be planted again. It just gets up whatever size, and it stops growing, and then the little root systems just break off, and the tumbleweed just starts blowing. Now, spiritually speaking, everybody with me? Spiritually speaking, this is what happens to some Christians, some Christian believers. They encounter a difficult test or trial, and suddenly they stop growing. They stop praying. They stop reading their Bible. They stop going to church. They stop this and they stop that. Amen? I mean, this happened to me. I'm not going to sit there and say I had it all together the whole time. So we have to be very careful about this. My friend, you should never stop growing in the Lord. If we stop growing, if we're not careful, we'll start tumbling in our Christian walk. This is why Paul told the church at Ephesus, there is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. He's basically saying to them, hey, look, this is a foundational belief here. Stay focused. Don't get sidetracked on all this crazy stuff that's being taught out there in the world. Young people, listen to me. Everybody got a young people's attention? You cannot coast on your mom and dad's faith. Okay? You cannot coast on your mom and dad's faith. You need to develop your own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And I know Adam and Lori focus on that a lot. But you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And the main reason is so that you can have a good, solid foundation, spiritually speaking, right? And your roots can get deep and deep and deep so that you can have a good, solid foundation to believe, to build your life on. And also, you're ready. So when you get to maybe high school, but when you get to college, those kind of things, start becoming a young adult, you will run across people who will ask you those dumb questions. They'll ask you these questions, you know. Like, do you really believe all that crazy stuff in the Bible? Right? They'll ask you these questions like, what come first, the chicken or the egg? All these crazy questions. You've got to know, right, what you believe in your foundation. You have to be able to say, yes, I believe in the Bible. I might not understand it all right now, but I place my faith in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believe in the Bible. And if you really want to put some icing on the cake, here's what you say. You say, and you know what? It gives me peace in my heart knowing that I have eternal life. And you know what? One day when I die, I'm going to heaven. Now, when you say that, I've done this a bunch. When you say that to people who are unbelievers and unsaved, you know, it'll fry their brain. Deep in their heart, deep in their soul, it'll get their attention. Because, see, those folks don't know where they're going when they die. They don't know. They don't know. They don't have peace in their heart that they're going to have eternal life. So when you say that, it'll get their attention. Amen? We must know what we believe so that we're not swayed by the crazy teachings that's going on today. I keep focused on the young people and you older guys too. You can get on the internet these days and find anything that anything you believe in, anything you want to believe in. You can find a lot of people that'll believe whatever craziness that's taught out there in the world. So you got to be careful. The reason Paul was so adamant that believers established a solid foundation of truth is because he knew, even at that time, that people were preaching and teaching crazy doctrines, trying to get them away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's no different today, is it? It's no different today. So we want to stay focused. False doctrine will blow you off course. Your ship will get off course just a little bit, and it'll get even more and more until you're miles away from where you really want to be spiritually. So you got to be very careful. Becoming firmly grounded in God's word is one of the primary ways to secure your spiritual foundation, to make sure that you're healthy spiritually. Now, you ready? Tumbleweed Christians have childish behavior. They get offended easily and wear their feelings on their shoulders. Hang with me, okay? If the pastor doesn't shake their hand, they get offended and they run off to another church. If they didn't get to sing a solo, they go join another choir and look for another church. If they didn't get selected to be a deacon, get their feelings hurt, maybe run off to a smaller church. If they didn't like this, and if they didn't like that, they supposedly will hear from God telling them to roll on down the road until they find the right church that fits their beliefs. That happens in every church. These folks will act like little children. They'll pick up their toys and go home. Happens in every church. Number two. Point two. You guys still there? I said, Lord, you sure you'll be preach this? Yeah. Number two. Tumbleweed Christians begin to roam when confronted by a little pressure. Tumbleweed Christians will begin to roam, remember the three R's, when confronted by a little pressure. When Paul told the church of Ephesus, he said, don't be like little children tossed back and forth by the waves and winds. He's using the analogy of ships at sea. When storms come along, it's easy to get blown off course. Now, we all know, right? We all, most of us had children here. We all know that children have good, endearing qualities. They're innocent. They're trusting. They're energetic, playful, joyful, wonderful, and resilient. They are. They're beautiful and wonderful. When Paul cautioned the church not to be like little children, he was really talking about don't have the childish behavior of children. Now, we all know that children can be moody, self-centered, foolish, and in constant need of attention. Amen? Sandy might not come back. I hope so. Now, let me dig a little bit more. Over the years, I've seen people who refuse to deal with their personal sins. Okay? In fact, a lot of pastors these days are afraid to talk about sin from the pulpits. Why? Well, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe because people will pack up their marbles and leave. Man, I don't want to play anymore. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? They'll gather up their marbles and they'll leave. Tumbleweed Christians will roll on down the road. So, some pastors won't talk about sin. I love what Joby Martin said. Some of you know about Joby Martin. Joby Martin was asked one time about, you know, how are you building such a big church? How are you building a church with a lot of young people? And he told them, this is kind of my version, but this is what he said. He said, I really don't know. I just tell them they need to repent of their sins and change their life. Get right with God. He really didn't have a system or, Amen. Why is this important? Because these things will destroy you. These secret sins, these things that are going on in our lives, these things will destroy us. They will blow us out of the water. In the counseling world, for years, probably a couple decades, I've always taught a class and taught my clients that they need to be careful about what I call pirate cannons. These are sins in our life. And we all sin. I sin, you sin, we all sin, right? We all try to do good. We try to not. I don't know if there's such thing as a little sin or a big sin. I don't get bogged down with that. But there are some sins that are really big. They're like pirate cannons, and they will blow you out of the water. Really. If you've got a pirate sin, pray, search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me, and repent of those things. Why? They will wreck your marriage. They will tear up relationships with family and friends. And they will hinder your walk with God. That's what they'll do. But those tumbleweed Christians don't want to hear the truth. They get too offended. And off they go like a tumbleweed. Everybody good? So, talking to myself too. So, what do we do when someone comes up to you with some juicy piece of gossip? What's your attitude when we don't get our way at church? How do we respond when someone maybe speaks truth into your life? How do we respond? Or how do we respond when the devil comes against us in a big way? Suffering, pain, something bad comes to us. How do we respond? Are we easily uprooted and tossed? 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. Paul said this. Listen up. He says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. He said, we get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Paul was telling them, I've been beaten. I've had trouble. I've been whipped. I'm having a hard time here. But Paul never said, I'm leaving the church. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm giving up on this Christian stuff. I'm going to go the easier and softer way. He never did. Tumbleweed Christians, on the other hand, began to roam when confronted by a little pressure. So we have to be careful. We all have weaknesses. What could uproot you? What could uproot me? We have to be mindful. We have to allow the Lord to guide us, the Holy Spirit to quicken our heart about some of our own weaknesses. So remember, Satan is a master of hounding believers until maybe we eventually begin to believe his lies. That's really the only thing he can do with us is lie. Just lie to us. So Paul told the church in Ephesus, don't give place to the devil. Don't let him get a foothold in your life. Amen? All right, number three, last one. Number three. Tumbleweed Christians blown by the wind are helpless to decide their own route. Tumbleweed Christians blown by the wind are helpless to decide their own route. So the Bible teaches us not to walk as Gentiles walk in the what's called the futility of their minds. This word futility means transient. Transient. It means no stabilization. It means no firm foundation. In the world, it calls this an aimless, wandering generality. Just kind of what happens. Now, some of us can remember back before we got saved and give our life to Christ, we kind of did our own thing. Kind of did what we sort of wanted to do. Feels good, do it. But now that we're believers and followers of Christ, our conduct should line up with God's Word, no matter how we think or feel. Amen? I ran into a man a few weeks ago. I think it was last week. He said, you're a Baptist preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. He said, yeah, I used to be too, but I found a better way. I said, tell me more. I really did. I said, tell me more. And I listened to this guy for a little while. We talked, listened. I didn't argue with him. I ain't got nothing to prove to him, you know. I listened, just listened to him. And it was obvious to me that he was being blown in every way but loose. He was been blowing around. He was like a double-minded man. It was unstable. He didn't even believe his own, or the words even coming out of his mouth. He had this new belief system. It was obvious to me that he was a tumbleweed Christian. It's not for me to judge there, right? But he was a tumbleweed Christian, not really sure of anything that he believed anymore. He'd gotten way off track. This guy had been to Bible school, pretty famous Bible school. But I could see it on his face. He lost that peace of mind. He was majorly confused. You know what he was? He was lost at sea. He was shipwrecked. I felt bad for him. Tumbleweed Christians can't decide their own route. They're mostly confused about what they believe. They're in church, they're out of church. It's this way, and then it's this way. They'll actually make statements like this. You know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say this. But technically, they're right. Technically, they're right. Technically, you can get married and have a marriage license hanging on your wall and not live in the same house? Not go to the same places? Not eat at the same restaurants? But get together like about once a month? Once a quarter? And technically, you can be married. Y'all get it? But honestly, I don't call that love. You're not going to build a relationship. Amen? We need each other as believers. We need the fellowship with each other. Now, going back to Paul's analogy, and I'm almost finished here. Going back to Paul's analogy of the ships at sea, you think about the dangers now and back then. The dangers of ships trying to get from point A to point B. Sunken rocks and shallow reefs, dangerous coastlines that could sink a ship within minutes, narrow straits that only a good, experienced captain could navigate through those. And then, there's the pirates. The pirates who come to kill, steal, and destroy. Y'all hear me? These pirates. Here's an interesting parallel. Listen closely. Just about 5 more minutes here. Listen closely. Every ship back in those days needed 3 things to sail. They needed 3 things to have a successful voyage back in the day. They need a map, they need a compass, and they need a good crew. Spiritually speaking, Christians, followers of Christ, need the same 3 things to have a successful life, to be able to navigate through life. Amen? And here they are. We need a map, which is our Bible. We need our compass, which is the Holy Spirit, who takes the Word of God and points us in the right direction. And finally, we need a good crew, which is the body of Christ. It's us. Paul said, also in Ephesians, he has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? He was real clear about that. So that we, everybody say we, everybody say me, that we can become strong believers together. And that we can be Christians who are equipped to do the works of the ministry. That's why. Is God calling you to serve in His ministry here at Pauline Baptist Church? Is God calling you to serve here? We have a lot of places that you can serve. My prayer is that you would pick a place to plant your roots. Pick a place to plant your roots. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, your word always encourages us, lifts us up, points us in the right direction. It corrects us when we need correcting. Thank you for loving on us. Thank you for telling us the truth, what we need to hear. Lord, just pause for a minute and ask you if there's anyone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I just pray that you would accept Christ this morning. Lord, in this little time, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus right now, you can do it sitting right there in your pew. You can come down to these altars and you can pray. If you'd like to make sure this morning that you're going to heaven, I ask that you just pray this with me right now, sitting right where you're at. With your heart, I just ask that you'll mean this prayer and say this. Say, God, I repent of my sins. I put my faith in Jesus Christ, that he died for me and he rose from the grave. This day forward, I'm going to live for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.